Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This week, I've been doing a special week of programming and something that we've really never done before. We are taking teaching from one of my live Gospel Truth seminars, and we're playing that here over our television program. And I believe that it's really ministering to people. The subject is how to stay positive in a negative world. And I tell you, this describes where we are living, and this is something that we need to apply some effort in this area if we're going to keep our love from growing cold. Let me also just say, we'll be going back into this teaching that was recorded in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'll be going back into that in just a moment. But let me say that today is our last day to offer the first part of this teaching. During our Gospel Truth seminars, there are actually five services. It starts on Thursday and goes through Saturday night. There are five services. This is the end of the first teaching, and what we do is offer the album for a gift of any amount. We have a suggested donation, and I think we have this in CD as well as a DVD. But then some people wouldn't even give anything, even though there's not an exact price on it. And so we offer the individual teachings one at a time, and we say that they're free of charge. Our partners have enabled us to be able to make these teachings available to people, but we don't make the entire album available free of charge. We say that you have to give something for that. But if you could not or would not send any money for the album, you can get each individual CD one at a time free of charge as our gift to you. I believe that this teaching is going to make a difference in your life. I believe it could radically change your life and help you to overcome the depression and the discouragement and the dismay that comes at us because of living in a negative world. I really believe that this is important, and I don't want anyone to miss this teaching because of a lack of finances. So I'm just saying that today is our last day to offer the first of these five teachings on how to stay positive in a negative world as a free gift to you. If you cannot send anything to get the entire album, then you can get the entire teaching one at a time on CDs. Today will be our last day. So at the end of our program, our announcer will come on and share that information with you and give you all of the details that you need. But I want you to be able to get this teaching. Remember, today's the last day for the first teaching. Now we're going to go directly into that teaching from our Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, talking about how to stay positive in a negative world. And I believe that this is going to make a big impact on your life. If you haven't recognized, there is a change. And there is rampant ungodliness, and if you aren't aware of the potential damage, then you are going to drop your guard and you are going to let your love wax cold. You're going to be dismayed and discouraged and have fear on the inside of you just by default because you haven't resisted it. Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And of course, the classic example of all of this is over in Numbers chapter 13. Let me just share a couple of passages with you. But this is where Moses sent out the spies when they were getting ready to enter into the promised land. And Moses sent these spies out to check out the land, and it was a great land. They brought back one cluster of grapes. The land was so prosperous that they got one clump of grapes, and it was so big they had to put it on a pole and carry it between two men. That's huge. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was, you know, today, I don't think that there's any place on earth that did that, but the nation of Israel, when the Israelites came into it, was a land that was so blessed and so prosperous that two men had to carry one cluster of grapes on a pole between two men. And so they saw all of the goodness, but then they brought up this negative report. And here in Numbers chapter 13, it says in verse 27, they told him and said, "We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." And they showed them those grapes. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled.
and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. That's talking about the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." And the man that went up with him said, "We be not able to go against the people, for they be stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." Man, there's a great message there. I hadn't got time to preach that. But you know what? It doesn't matter how anybody else sees you. It's how you see yourself. It didn't matter if the giants saw them as grasshoppers. The problem was that they saw themselves as grasshoppers instead of the truth. You know, over in the 14th chapter, let me just skip over and read a couple of verses. In verse 6, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye for the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not.'" You know what they were saying? "Be strong and of a good courage." Here was Joshua and Caleb being strong and of a good courage, and yet they were in the minority. 10 out of the 12 spies were convinced that, "No, we can't do it." They saw the negative side of everything. And only 2 of them believed God. And they brought this up and they said, "We can do it because their defense has departed from them." You know, real quickly, just let me read this verse to you out of Joshua chapter 2. This is after Moses had died. The children of Israel were getting ready to go into the promised land, and they sent some spies into the city of Jericho to check out their defenses. And a harlot named Rahab took them into her home. And here's what she said. "And she said unto the man, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard of how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath.'" She said, "The moment we heard about the crossing of the Red Sea, our heart melted and there was no strength left in any man." Did you know Joshua and Caleb over here in the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers says, "Let's go up and take it because their defense has departed from them." That's exactly what Rahab said. Did you know that the truth is, even though they were giants and even though it looked like they were strong, the truth is from Rahab, she says, "Our hearts melted and all of our defense departed from us." If the Israelites would have understood what was going on, if they would have encouraged themselves in the Lord and have obeyed God, they never would have spent 40 years in the wilderness. That generation that came out of the land of Egypt never would have died. They wouldn't have had to go through all those hardships and the serpents biting them and all of the judgments and things. They could have lived in the promised land. But they allowed themselves to be discouraged. They listened to the negative report of other people, and because of it, it cost an entire generation their life. An entire generation of people passed away because of the negative report of 10 people. Because of them bringing up this thing. All of these negatives. And somebody might say, "Well, they were true." Well, it was true that, yes, they were giants. But see, they didn't present that, oh, their heart has melted on the inside of them. They are more afraid of us than we are of them. They don't present all of these things. Sure, there may be problems in our world today, but people aren't going to put it into the right perspective. Like some of you heard talk about the recession, and they said it's the worst thing since the Great Depression, and they're talking about how bad it is. Did you know the last statistic that I saw, and this has been a while ago, so it may not be accurate, but at the worst that I saw, there was about 4 or 6% foreclosures on houses in this nation during the last year. Do you know what the foreclosure rate was during the Great Depression? 49-point-something percent. Just right at 50%. And yet people would say it's the worst thing since the Great Depression. And they didn't put it into its proper perspective. And you know what it did? It discouraged people. And it caused people to start operating in fear. Up to 50% of all Christians quit giving because of a fear about the economy. The worst thing, the absolute worst thing you could do if there is a financial problem is to quit your giving. But see, people listen to all of this stuff and it causes fear on the inside of them, and it causes people to cut off the very thing that is your lifeline. God says, give and it'll be given unto you. Man, the moment you quit giving, you have just stopped the flow of God's blessing. You have hurt yourself. And yet I can guarantee you there's a lot of people that listened to the 10 spies that were negative. They listened to all of these things. They heard people say this is the worst recession, talked about how bad everything was. And I guarantee you it's not near as bad. People blew this stuff out of proportion. You know, I might as well say these things. I'm going to be leaving town in a little bit anyway. But you know, Al Gore has made like $100 billion or $1 million or something off all this global warming stuff, and it's a hoax. That's my opinion. Some of you may disagree with that. But just last month, they found those emails where the people over in England who were some of the experts that were leading some of these things that were proven to have lied and have held back information. We just went on a cruise this summer up in the Inside Passage in Alaska. And did you know what? Many of the glaciers are advancing instead of retreating. I never have understood. You know, if you put an iceberg, I mean, an iceberg is water, isn't it? Frozen water. You know, if you had a glass of water and if you had ice in it, did you know when the ice melts, it doesn't run over? Isn't that true? Hadn't anybody ever tried this before? If you take ice in a glass and melt it, the level of water doesn't change in the glass. And yet this whole thing is the glaciers, the icebergs are going to melt and the world's going to flood. Something's wrong with this logic. I'm not real smart, but I'm smart enough to know better than that. There's just a lot of things going on today, and you know what? They're making money off of it, and there's reasons why they're doing it, and Christians are operating in fear. I just read a scripture this week. It says, the shields of the earth belong to the Lord. And I got to meditating on that. The shields of the earth. I guess you would have to say that the atmosphere is one of the shields. It's what keeps bad rays from coming in and causes meteors to burn up and things like that. And it says it belongs to the Lord. In other words, God's the one that takes responsibility for defending this earth. It's the height of arrogancy to think that we can sit here and destroy the shields of the earth with our puny things. You know, cows produce 24% of all of the CO2 emissions in the world. Mankind, with all of our industry, only produces 1%. If we just went back to horse and buggy days, all we could do is decrease the CO2 emissions by 1%, kill all the cows, we'd get rid of 24%. I tell you, we are being lied to on a consistent basis. I know some of you have probably taken offense over what I've said, and I'm not going to sit here and argue over these things. This isn't the crux of the gospel, but I am going to stand and defend this, that we are being systematically lied to, and there are things that are being said that cause fear in us. Like I was over in the United Kingdom in 2005, October of 2005, and I happened to turn on the BBC, and the leading expert in the British healthcare system. They were interviewing him and they said, is this avian flu going to turn into a pandemic that will affect the whole world? He says, oh, there is no question about if it'll happen. It's just a matter of when. It could be 1 year or 2 years at the most. But I can guarantee, these are his exact words, that 1/3 of the world population will die by avian flu within 2 years. That was in October of 2005. October of 2007, I was in the UK again, and I read in the USA Today that there had been a total of 12 deaths worldwide by avian flu. And this was the leading British expert. And some people think, well, you just have to err on the side of caution. No, I guarantee you that caused fear in a lot of people. You know, they do the same thing with hurricanes. They've prophesied that the hurricane season was going to be the worst that has ever hit. And the last few years has been some of the mildest hurricane seasons we've ever had. And yet, out of Boulder, Colorado, they prophesy that we are going to have anywhere from 15 to 17 major hurricanes when there was only one. And people say, well, you just, that's the way you have to be. You have to be cautious. No, what that does is drive insurance up. People weren't able to pay their premiums, and people who did have storms happen lost, and it caused tremendous economic damage, and it does a lot of damage. And brothers and sisters, I can guarantee you with just those two examples, and there's many more, we are being systematically lied to because bad news sells. They present things in the worst possible light, and these things, according to all of these scriptures I've used tonight, this ungodliness, this wickedness affects your relationship with God if you allow it to. You've got to recognize we are living in a hostile environment. You got to recognize that the same way that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, unbelief, fear, doubt comes by hearing all of the junk that is being spoken. And you are going to have to take some responsibility and stand up and start being discriminating in what you hear and see and listen to. You'll vex your righteous soul if you don't. It'll cost you your family. And some of us think, well, boy, that's a huge leap from what the Bible says to what you're saying. No. Lot lost his wife, his children. And you know what? There are people today that are losing their family members through death, through divorce, through things like this, because we don't know how to stand in the Word of God, because we have been polluted. Our love has grown cold. And it's affecting people. I'm telling you, we need to make a stand. And so this is what I'm going to be talking about all week long. Is tonight I've just tried to present the situation, the crisis. And we are in a crisis. And if you don't recognize we're in a crisis, well then your love has already started waxing cold. You've already got a number of layers of insensitivity between you and God. If you can enjoy all of the ungodliness of this world, and if things don't bother you, something is wrong with you. It should bother you. It should bother you to see people doing these things. And so we need to, first of all, recognize the crisis before we can solve the problem. When you go to the doctor, he's going to tell you how bad it is, what the potential damage is, trying to motivate you to take a different course, to change your diet, to change your lifestyle, to do something. He'd have to tell you how bad the situation is before you'd accept the remedy. And so this is what I've tried to do. I know that this may not be one of those shouting sermons, get you all excited, but I tell you, I think that this is going to make a difference if you can understand this. You don't have to let your love grow cold. You know that scripture about the love of many will wax cold? I remember in Vietnam, I was on bunker guard one night, and all they gave us was short sleeve fatigues because we were in a tropical climate. It didn't get real cold over there, but I was up in the mountains of Vietnam, and I remember on guard duty one night, it was cold. It wasn't below freezing, but it was cold. And man, I was cold. And they actually brought coffee by, the closest I ever came to drinking coffee in my life. I took hot steaming coffee and I put it between my legs and warmed my hands off of the steam. And when it quit steaming, I poured it over my hands to thaw them out. That's the closest I ever got to drinking coffee. And I remember I was praying and I had just read this verse. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, about the love of many will wax cold because of iniquity. And I was cold, and I was thinking about this, and I was saying, oh, God, I do something to help me warm up. And they came by and brought a blanket. And I remember I was never as thankful for anything as I was that blanket. And when my bunker guard duty was over, I got down in that bunker and I wrapped up in that blanket and I began to feel that warmth. And I remember the Lord just speaking to me, and he says, you know what? In the same way as I provided that blanket and gave you that physical warmth, he says, I'm going to answer your prayer and I'm going to keep your love from growing cold. And I remember that, man. That was a long, long time ago. That was about 1970 sometime. And I remember God speaking that to me. And you know what? When you get cold, you have to do something like put on some clothes or put a blanket on. And we are in a situation that's causing the majority of people's love to grow cold. You need to do something. And I've got a blanket for you. Amen. I've got some scriptures that are going to make a difference. And I can promise you, if you will do the things that we're going to share, I believe it will counter this wickedness and these things that cause this discouragement and dismay on the inside of you. Unless you have a deliberate plan to encourage yourself in the Lord, you aren't going to be encouraged. It is not normal to be encouraged. It's normal to be discouraged. It's normal to be dismayed. It's normal to be afraid. It's abnormal to be strong and of a good courage. But it is certainly doable. There are things in the Word of God that'll tell you exactly how to do it. And praise God, I want to be a part of encouraging you and helping you be strong and of a good courage.
Join us again tomorrow as Andrew continues his teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in How to Stay Positive in a Negative World is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this first CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled, God Wants You Well, for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you are being blessed by this teaching, and not only is it helping you, but you know that there are many people that just haven't heard this good news that God loves them and wants them well, and you're excited about the word going out. You know, I'd like to ask you, if you haven't yet become a partner with us, to please become a partner and help us get this truth out. We spend close to $1 million a month in just television and radio airtime, and it's about to increase dramatically. And I couldn't do that by myself. The only reason I can do this is because other people recognize that God is using this ministry to set people free and get the truth to them, and they want to help. And so we have people who are partners. If you haven't yet become a partner, we have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp this week, May 28th through the 31st, in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, and in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd. He'll also be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th, in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
It's our premier event of the year, the 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Join us Monday, June 28th through Friday, July 2nd at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel for an experience you'll never forget. Morning speakers include Karis Bible College instructors, and Andrew Womack will be teaching each evening.
How good it is to give thanks unto the Lord.
Praise and worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
To give thanks.
A full children's ministry and so much more. Bring the family and enjoy Colorado. For reservations and more info, log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. The 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd.
Andrew, Jamie, and the team traveled by air and train to Karlsruhe, Germany. Here, a Gospel Truth Seminar was held in Christus Kathedral, one of the premier Pentecostal congregations in Germany.
Wie ist es möglich, dass ein Mensch so viele Zweifel
hat? God called them to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go out, and he would show them the nation.
Gott hat sie berufen, Ur in Chaldea zu verlassen und in ein neues Land zu ziehen.
It's not just a one-hour service over 3 days, but he's leaving behind five or six of his major teachings in book format, leaving behind five or six of his major teachings in DVD or CD format in their language. That's what the key is.
During the German conference, Will Graham met with supervisors of Andrew's book translation teams to plan and coordinate projects for the coming year. This group has already seen an astounding 127 of Andrew's books translated into 36 languages worldwide. Will reports that already Christians in China have placed orders for 200,000 copies of Andrew's books. Books that contain the teaching from God's Word that will affect the lives of millions and perhaps billions of people worldwide.
There are 27 nations in the European Union, and we are translating into 19 of those languages.